Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, we hear about meteorites all the time. And I've said it time and time again, we can't be that vain to not believe there is something out there. And what is it all about? And what are these meteorites all about? And will one ever destroy the Earth? We're going to talk now to a director of Space Guard. His name is Jay Tate. Hello, Jay.
Hello there.
Jay, first of all, tell us about Space Guard. I didn't even know you existed.
Well, the Space Guard programme is not just in the UK, of course. It's an international programme, mainly based in the United States, that really aims to find any potentially dangerous comets or asteroids in good time, long before they get close enough to be a real problem, so we can stop them hitting the Earth.
How do we stop them hitting the Earth?
Well, it's a three-step process. The first thing you've got to do, obviously, is find these objects. And at the moment, that's mainly done by the search programs in the United States. But once you've found one, then you have to track it to find out where it's going. And that's a job that's done these days mainly by amateurs around the world. And when you've actually identified one that's going to be a problem, then clearly you want to make it go away.
How do you make it go away?
Well, of course, that depends entirely on what the thing's made of, how it's put together, how fast it's spinning, and so on. So there's no silver bullet here, but the aim of the game is to give ourselves enough notice, a number of years or decades, so we can develop a specific countermeasure tailored to that particular target.
It's interesting you say that volunteers watch the tracking. Does this mean that governments don't take it seriously?
Well, the United States government takes it very seriously. Ours does absolutely nothing at all. In fact, the United States are pretty much the only country in the world who really do anything about this.
Why was Space Guard set up, Space Guard Centre, and how was it set up?
Well, the Space Guard Centre was set up as the headquarters for Space Guard UK, which is one of the biggest non-governmental Space Guard organisations around the world. But it was basically set up because the British government wasn't doing anything, so we thought we'd better do it ourselves.
So how are you funded?
We're funded by a small shop up at the Space Guard Centre where people come to visit and hopefully spend a few bob. So basically we're unfunded, but, well, we do what we can do.
Where are you based? You're in Wales, aren't you?
We're on the English-Welsh border, about halfway between Shrewsbury and Hereford.
Right.
It's one of the prime dark sky sites in the UK.
So tell people where it is, because I'm sure people didn't know about it, the same as myself, and would love to come and visit.
Well, it's just outside a small town called Knighton, which is on the Offa's Dyke. As I say, about halfway between Hereford and Shrewsbury. In fact, we're 800 yards inside Wales.
Right.
But it's an absolutely cracking part of the country.
Yeah.
I was going to say, luckily, not very well known to the tourist.
Right.
Perhaps that's not quite so lucky, because actually, certainly the local area could do with a little bit of support.
Have you got one of these amazing telescopes?
We've got a lot of amazing telescopes. We've got quite a big one in the main dome, but our prime telescopes are robotic, 14-inch in a small dome out the front. And we're in the process of building a new dome to house what will be the biggest telescope in Wales.
Jay, do you get frustrated as somebody who is interested in this and deeply interested, it comes over loud and clear, that you'll never know the answers before you die?
Well, with this one, we sort of do know the answers. Our subject, near-Earth objects, is frankly delightfully simple. There are big rocks and lumps of ice out there that may, will, hit the Earth sooner or later. The only unknown in this particular subject is when. We know what happens when one hits. We know they're out there. We know they are going to hit sooner or later. So really, my only unknown, if you like, is when.
So that's all you do. That's that, the whole thing. You don't do anything else to do with spaceships or unidentified objects, anything like that?
We try and avoid unidentified flying objects on the basis that nearly 100% of them very quickly become identified flying objects.
Right.
No, we deal with science.
Right.
Stuff that's provable, repeatable. Sadly, of course, a lot of the UFO stuff is sort of conjecture, superstition. So that's really not what we're into at all. You don't have to get excited about stuff that doesn't exist when we've got amazing stuff out there that does exist.
Right. Jay, have we been near in our lifetime to being destroyed by something?
We get near misses all the time. About once a year, we get something big enough to cause what you might call a regional problem, you know, sort of medium-sized continent destroyed, passing between us and the moon. This is fairly common. I mean, basically, the Earth is at the center of a dartboard, and random darts are being thrown at that board.
Wow. If one was coming straight to the Earth and it was a really big one, would we send a bomb up to blow it up?
No. That's the last possible thing you'd want to do.
Why is that?
Well, you simply turn a predictable bullet into an unpredictable shotgun blast.
I see, yeah.
So that one, I mean, unless it's the last resort at really short notice.
Mm-hmm.
No, you really don't want to do that at all. What you want to do is turn a direct hit into a near miss by giving the thing just the tiniest little nudge to ensure that it misses.
When these rocks do land, are they then used to find out where they're from, etc.?
Well, if a tiny fragment does hit the ground, then it's known as a meteorite. And, of course, meteorites are samples of mainly asteroids. Sometimes we get little samples of the Moon and Mars and possibly other places as well. But since most of them are for asteroids, we can use meteorites to tell us precisely what asteroids are like. And, of course, that's enormously useful when we get to the stage of having to deflect one. But also it gives us an enormous insight into where the planets came from. Because, in fact, asteroids are really bits of a planet that never happened. So looking at asteroids is rather like, I don't know, it's rather like going to B&Q for planets. You can see how they're put together.
I'm talking to Jay Tate, who is director of the Space Guard Centre. Jay, I've got to ask, what is a shooting star?
Well, as a general rule, your average shooting star is a tiny bit of dust left behind by a comet as it orbits around the sun. They're normally about the size of a grain of sand, and they're burning up 30 or 40 kilometres above the ground.
I mean, they're amazing. You see one, and you just, it's magical. It's so quick, and then it's gone.
Well, it's the death of a tiny piece of comet.
Right.
It's been in existence for the best part of 4.5 billion years, and what you're seeing is its demise.
Now, did people get very excited in the press? Was it last year, or was it the beginning of this year, of a meteorite coming towards the Earth?
Well, of course, it's not a meteorite coming towards the Earth. It's only a meteorite once it's actually hit the ground.
Right.
But we constantly get stories about asteroids that may be coming fairly close. Mainly because lots and lots of asteroids do come close. It's really a matter of whether the newspapers have got enough news for the day or not. I mean, quite frankly, a lot of noise is made about fairly insignificant events, where quite a lot of the more significant events literally pass unnoticed.
Is the one in history that's done an awful lot of damage?
Loads of them, yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, the most famous one, of course, was 65 million years ago, that wiped out 75% of all the species of plant and animal on the planet, including dinosaurs and things like that. You can come much, much more up to date and look at the Tunguska event back in 1908. That was a tiny little lump of dirty ice, probably about the size of a tennis court. It exploded about 5 miles above the ground, but the explosion was about 1,000 times more powerful than the Hiroshima atomic bomb.
Good heavens.
Well, the heat and blast from that took out an area of the Siberian forest that was about the size of Anglesey.
Wow.
And we expect that sort of thing to happen, you know, once or twice every century.
Are you fascinated by what's out there? You yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, any thinking person has to be. The only problem is that a lot of people never look at the other half of their environment. Eyes are cast downwards, never upwards.
And it's a vast space, isn't it?
Well, it's probably not infinite, but yeah, there's an awful lot of stuff out there.
What's your views on Mars? We've been getting lots of talk about it lately, that maybe there was life, a different type of life.
Well, there's an awful lot of evidence to suggest that there was. As a scientist, one doesn't like to speculate too much, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if future missions to Mars don't find evidence that at one time there was primitive life on Mars. There's absolutely no reason why there shouldn't have been. In fact, it's quite hard to really think why it wouldn't have been there. Mars's environment was much, much more benign some millions of years ago. All the requirements for life are there, and it's not a huge leap of imagination to see that, you know, primitive life could well have formed and possibly survived for quite a long time.
Jay, these asteroids, when they actually land, when they burn out, have you or have scientists found one that has really amazed them at what they've investigated it?
Well, every single one is amazing.
Really?
I mean, the study of meteorites is a study of the very early days of the solar system. What is quite exciting is every now and again, of course, you get one that's not from an asteroid, but from either the Moon or Mars, in which case, of course, we're getting fragments of other celestial bodies that we would otherwise have to spend a huge amount of money to go and fetch. We've got a couple of very small samples of the Moon and Mars here, and it's, well, really quite awesome to hold it in your hand and think, well, you know, that came from Mars, especially as Mars just at the moment is really well positioned in the sky to see.
Jay, is there anything to finish off? Is there anything coming towards us that is of concern right
well,
now?
NASA produces a list every day of near-Earth asteroids that have what are called non-zero hit probabilities. And this morning, there were 711 on that.
God.
the bottom line is this is inevitable. I mean, you know, anybody with a second brain cell can work that out. As I said earlier, though, the question is when.
On that word, I'll say goodnight. Thank you, Jay Tate, from the Space Guard Centre.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show, Late Night City, with Pete Price, on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.